Epilogue. Hanging Day. Oscar Featherstone awakened early on the morning of his hanging. Birdsong drifted through the arrow-slit window. The simple, beautiful melody brought tears to his eyes. His lawyer had been a bone-thin man with the peculiar name of Dubney Swinder, and the odd habit of wearing a yellow cravat that made his pale face appear translucent. Oscar, his hope long since gone, had recognized the lackluster nature of his barrister. The court session had been over in less than 10 minutes. The rotund judge in his white wig banged the gavel, and his pronouncement of death by hanging reverberated.
"The court doth order you to be taken from hence to the place from whence you came, and thence to the place of execution, and that you be hanged by the neck until you are dead. And may the Lord have mercy upon your soul."
Oscar's mother, wearing her black crinoline dress and waving a black handkerchief, had begun to wail uncontrollably from the gallery as two beef-eaters hauled him back to the prisoner wagon. In a few short hours, beef-eaters would place him in the same wagon and haul him to the gallows in Newgate Prison. His only consolation was that there would be no crowds. Public hangings had been banned several years ago. The hangman would have to be there, of course. A key clicked in the cell door, but Oscar didn't bother to raise his head. Part of him wanted to grab onto the bars of his cell and hold tight, forcing a scene and making them drag him out of the prison. But another part didn't really care how the next few hours of his life went. The door swung open, rusty hinges screeching. A beef-eater holding a lantern entered.
"Oscar Featherstone," he said.
"Yes."
"It is time."
"No. No."
Oscar swallowed the lump in his throat.
"Maintain your dignity," he told himself. "It's too early."
"We must go now. They don't appreciate us being late."
Oscar looked up. It was York, the man who had taken to taunting him with a raspy version of, "The hangman is a tricky knave. He soon my neck will draw." York was all business as he roughly unshackled Oscar from the wall and pushed him out of the cell. It had been weeks since Oscar had walked any distance, and he staggered down the hall, his shackles clanking. They'd already rubbed his flesh raw, and every step hurt. York grabbed Oscar by the shoulder and pushed him down the hallways of the lieutenant's lodgings. They encountered one maid, who covered her mouth as they rattled past. Oscar was shoved through a door into the open air. He had a moment to look at the sky, then he was thrown into the back of a cell wagon and the door was slammed shut. Ravens cawed, chiding him from the top of the bell tower. He watched through the bars as the wagon rumbled away from the Tower of London. It was a little past sunrise, but already costermongers and dock workers were plodding along the sidewalks of the Tower Bridge to their jobs. A few squinted at the wagon as it passed. He wondered about the moment he would know death, and brought his hands to his neck. Would it hurt? Would he see his father again in the afterlife? If so, he would ask for forgiveness. He huddled in the corner, trying to keep his sobs silent. After what felt like an hour, the wagon stopped and York opened the door.
"Get out, and be careful not to bang your head," he said, with an unexpected gentleness.
He guided Oscar down to the road. When Oscar looked up, he was shocked, speechless. He was standing just inside the gates of his father's estate. York unlocked the handcuffs, and they clattered onto the cobblestone drive.
I don't understand. What's happening?"
"You were not responsible for your father's death," York said.
In the brightening morning light, York seemed shorter and a little hunched over.
"They'll hang you for the crime anyway. Justice isn't always on the side of the just."
"But why are you releasing me?"
"I'm not who you think I am."
At that moment, Oscar saw that the man wasn't York. He had very similar features, that was all.
Who are you?"
He grabbed Oscar's shoulders firmly.
"Listen carefully, Mr. Featherstone. You have very little time. March into that house. Shave off your beard, cut and colour your hair with shoe polish, and disguise yourself in your servant's clothes.
Ask your mother for money, as much as possible, and tell her she must never admit you were here. Do not imagine, even for a second, that it would be safe for you to hide out in England. Take the first boat you can find to America or Australia. Do this within the half hour."
He unlocked Oscar's leg manacles.
"Go now." "Thank you. I thank you," Oscar said, nearly weeping with relief.
"It was the right thing to do," the man said over his shoulder as he walked away. "Mrs. Finchley would be proud of me." Not quite believing any of the last few minutes, Oscar Featherstone watched the man climb back onto the wagon and ride through the front gate toward the rising sun. Then Oscar ran into his home to find his mother.